Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And again, we are here ready, willing, and able to be used by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we just want to trust and believe that God is our Savior. We want you to always understand that. Seek God first in everything you do. This is His love for us, is to seek God first. I pray that the day has been a day of rejoicing for you. I pray that today has been a day of worship in the Lord, calling Him who He is, telling Him how much you love Him. And I just trust and believe that as we worship the Lord, our blessings will flow through and through, from heart to heart, bosom to bosom. This is the enjoyment of our God, our Father, who is in heaven. So praise the Lord, and thank you for being a faithful listener to Mission from the Heart Radio. And we are back in the studio today, myself, Carnita Smith, and with my special guest, our sister in Christ, Ginger Gill. And, of course, that's how I address her, because she is a dear friend of mine and, of course, a faithful sister in Christ. She loves the Lord dearly, and she loves the Word of God dearly. We have been moving through this teaching series, How Did I Become a Sinner? And that has been a question that may have crossed your mind from time to time. How did I become a sinner? And Scripture helps us examine ourselves and take inventory of our life to see if there is any wicked way in us. And according to Psalms 139:24, and the second part of that particular verse says this, and lead me in the way of everlasting. And, of course, this is the work of the Holy Spirit for those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So I want us to just come ready, willing, and able to eat from the banquet table of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that the Holy Spirit would move in us to show us some richness of this second part of the series, How Did I Become a Sinner? So I want Ginger to just introduce yourself for those who may not have been with us on our first part of this particular series, and just give them a little bit about yourself and how much you love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I know you do, and then we'll just move right into our lesson on our second point.
Yes, good evening. My name is Ginger. That's my nickname, but I grew up with it. My real name is Arlene Gill. I prefer to be called Ginger for the obvious reason. I just thank God that He gave us this opportunity and this platform to speak about Him and His Word, and the fact that we have the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, and He leads and guides us into all truth. So we are just relying and trusting in Him and allowing Him to lead us into the truth of His Word, and to be able to dissect it in a way that is simple and understanding to the hearer. I'm just appreciative of Ms. Carnita and her ministry and her influence on me, in her encouragement to me to share my heart, which is God's heart, and I love his word. And with that said, I thank you who are listening, and I pray that your ears be attentive to hear the right things that you need to hear, and that God will guide my speech and my tongue to say the things rightly and in order and in a way that is acceptable and understandable and simple to the hearer. Amen. So, Miss Kanita, should I go into the word right now?
We need to move right into the lesson. We are so ready to go.
Yes, ma'am. The first point, part of the lesson that was spoken on last program, the title, of course, is How Did I Become a Sinner? And the first point was perfect fellowship. And we spoke on perfection of man in creation, which was Adam. And God created him, and he said that he was very good. He gave him dominion and control over the works and the creations of his hand. The next topic was communion with God. The second, the communion with God in Genesis, where, again, God had a relationship, Adam and God had a relationship that God just allowed him to name the animals without question, and, you know, they fellowshipped in the garden in the cool of the day. And that brings us to the broken fellowship and how it happened within that, the Garden of Eden. And the first point, the first subject beneath the second point of broken fellowship is in the garden, the inclusion of Eve. And we're going to be reading from Genesis 2, 8, 9, 15 through 17. It tells, and it's both read. Chapter 2, verse 8, starting at verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grown that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. My comment here is, I would like to stop for a brief moment and talk about the tree of life, the tree of life. The tree of life is mentioned 5 times in the Bible, 3 times in Genesis, and 2 times in Revelation. It's also suggested, the qualities of it was mentioned in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 47 and 12 refers to the tree. The tree of life wasn't mentioned in this passage. It speaks of its properties relating to the three trees in heaven that John speaks of in Revelation. And we're talking about the tree of life right now and what it represented. In Revelation 22 and 2, in the middle of this of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And that's it's also mentioned in Revelation 22 and 14. But I would like us to go back to Genesis and speak about the tree in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life, I believe, is exactly what its name represents. It sustains youth with long life. Genesis 3:22, God speaking, "Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put out his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Man was never created to die. God isn't a God of the dead, but of the living. When Adam disobeyed God's command and ate of the tree of God, the tree of good and evil, excuse me, he allowed sin to enter himself, and God's perfect plan for humanity was introduced to death. Adam would have lived forever in his fallen state, and so God had no choice but to remove them from the Garden of Eden for that very reason. Kanita, would you like to input something there?
No, I think this was very, with what you're saying and reading in the scripture, it makes it very clear that the tree of life, what the tree of life is, the tree of life indicated in scripture. I like to think of that tree of life as being our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as a view that I've taken, and the tree of life gives life, but and they were to freely eat of that tree, as well as anything else in the garden, with the exception of that one tree of knowledge of good and evil. But no, you can continue to go on.
Okay. Even though Christ was never mentioned by name, he was not a representation of the tree of life in the garden, I believe. From the Bible, here are some figuratives of a tree. Righteousness. You can, I invite the listeners to write these scriptures down and check them out later on your free time. This is describing the figurative of a tree in the Bible, which is righteousness. It's Psalms 1, verse 3, and it's for believers' life, Proverbs 11 and 30. It's wisdom. Proverbs 3, 18, it represents judgment. Luke 23 and 31, note, Christ did liken himself to a green tree in that scripture, which was Luke 23 and 31. And then it's covenant, Romans 11:24, and it's eternal life, Revelation 22 and 14. I believe that Jesus was, however, represented in the Godhead Trinity. In Genesis 1:26, the Lord said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." And in Genesis 3:22, where God again states, "Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil." And in that statement, I truly believe that the Trinity, the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, was speaking at that time. And within creation. And I will go on to speak and introduce the character of Eve within the garden. And it's taken from Genesis 2:18 and 21 through 23. That's Genesis 2:18, 21 through 23. And it's so read. "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible to him.' And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to him, to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" Now, I looked at the word compatible and 18, and the definition is it's likened to another, similar, equivalent, akin, or near to. And my comment to that is Eve was taken out of man's side, suggesting in my view that the woman is to be viewed as a man's equal supporter. She She is to bear him up as well as him her. We can never support each other when one takes the lead and leaves the other behind. When a married couple are side by side with one another in decision making or any level, they spiritually support each other. If one stumbles, the other is right there to bear him or her up. For example, if two people are walking and one gets injured and unable to walk, the other person usually positions the weak one to their side as a source of support and help in bearing him up, and thereby sharing his strength with the weaker one. In the like manner, God gave Adam to Eve to complete and to complement him, not to compete with or to control. I would like a little feedback from that, Carnita. You have any?
Sure. Well, it's you hit it spot on. You hit it spot on concerning the illustration as a marriage, you know, one helping the other and supporting the other. I like that. That hopefully will help us understand the importance of relationships.
Yes.
Our relationship with Christ Jesus, as we see, and she, as you indicated, concerning the tree. And that was something that really popped out in to me, that showed righteousness, life, wisdom, judge, covenant, eternal life. Those are the characters of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, God Himself. He's righteous. He's our life, eternal. He's all wisdom. He's all knowing. He's the judge of the righteous judge, and I see that to be also our strength. When we are weak, in our weakness, he is strong. So yes, this compatible helpmate to Adam and Eve being a team, if you will, that they're not in competition. So that was another rich piece of nugget that we, as body of Christ, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we aren't to be in competition with one another. We are to be in harmony with one another. And that is the beauty of the body of Christ, is to be in harmony, like a beautiful tapestry woven together. God being the actual thread from heart to heart, from bosom to bosom. And we flow, in harmony with one another in love because of Him loving us first. And so this is what God, I just believe that the scriptures teach us how to be in unison, united, harmony with one another as believers in Christ Jesus. And that, of course, is for the benefit of others to come into the ark of Christ. So
Amen.
This does show being likened, similar. And those words that describe compatible are the very descriptive words that should show the body of Christ. We are likened. We are kin. We are similar.
Yeah.
So, amen to that. Amen.
Yeah. And also near too. Because I find sometimes we are not near to each other in supporting, you know, one another in whichever endeavor that we may choose, once it's in Christ or even to advance ourselves. We are not near in agreement and support to each other, and that's something that the body of Christ needs to be healed from. And I pray that God does that soon, as He's preparing to come back. And also, the conversation at the tree was initiated by Satan with Eve is taken from Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. And it still reads, Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God has made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? The first action that Satan takes, and he does it in our lives every day, is to challenge the word of God. And he did this with Eve by making her think if what God told her was accurate or not. And he challenges the accuracy of God's word, which places doubt, which placed doubt in the mind of Eve. 2 Timothy 2:19 states, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Excuse me, I was wrong. It's 2:15. Forgive me for that. Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, God is saying here that we are to study. We are to get familiar with his word, that when the enemy comes with a different word or a wicked word, which is twisted, we should know the difference because we know the word of God and we live in the word of God and we apply the word of God and we walk, we are doers of the word of God. That's what the word of God, that's what the Bible tells us, is to be doers of his word, not just hearers. So I believe if Eve was more diligent in chewing on what God had said to her and rehearsing what God had said to her, the enemy would not have found an entryway to put doubt into her. But that is the story, and this is exactly what happened to cause us to where we are. So anyway, I will continue. I'm going to be reading Genesis 3, chapter 1, verse 2. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. I would like to discuss the character of Satan at this point. And I would like to read the definition of the word of cunning, which is in verse 1. And it's read like this: having or showing skill in achieving one's end by deceit or evasion. And other definitions are wild, the wild of the devil, devious, sly, scheming, shrewd, clever, canny, subtle, and most of all, deceptive. Satan not only fits this profile, but he definitely defined it. The Bible notes from Ezekiel 28:15, speaking of the devil, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. The word iniquity is defined as wickedness, sinfulness, immorality, vice, evil, sin, criminality, atrocity, monstrosity, obscenity, reprehensibility, transgression, wrongdoing, offense, vice. When I read these words, what comes to mind is just the word sin. Because that is what sin encumbers, all those words. And that's the attribute of Satan. That's his core. There's nothing good in him because he's just sin. And he represents sin and everything against God, which who is good. He is the opposite. So this sinful being is sitting and having a conversation with Eve. He's very cunning. He knows how to deceive. And because of that, she fell into the deception. There's much more to him. This speaks volumes to the character of Satan and his drive to destroy and corrupt mankind. There's nothing good in him. Our likeness and union with God, the Father, angers him to jealousy. He just hates man. He hates the relationship we have with God. He hates God. He wants to be like God, but he can't. He is a created being. And if we know for real who we are above him, and we have authority over him, because Jesus Christ has given us that authority. At this time, Carnita, I would like you to speak to someone about the reality of sin and the salvation and freedom that we have in Christ Jesus that can deliver us from the wiles and the wickedness of the enemy and the influences he have in this world. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes, this is a good time to come and just give your life to Christ and understand that being set free from the wiles and the deceptions and the subtleties and the cunningness of Satan coming into the salvation of Jesus Christ is where you need to be today. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and this is the day that he wants you to be in him and he in you. So we just encourage you to allow your heart to be set in place today, that your mind would be set in place on him, and that you would extend your hand and your heart to him wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly. So we want to touch and agree, as my brothers and sisters in Christ who are listening to this broadcast, if you would be in prayer and in like-mindedness with us, that somebody may be saved today, that they would come to know him in the pardoning of their sins. So if we would pray right now, and you pray and repeat after me, your heart, but the words of my mouth. God sees your heart. And I can encourage you to come and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So repeat after me with bowed heads and humbled hearts. And brothers and sisters, for those who are touching and agreeing with us, if you know anyone in your circle of influence, maybe it's your brother, maybe it's your sister, maybe it's your parents, maybe it's your children, maybe that individual on your job that needs a Savior, lift them up by name, and that you would intercede for them, and that the Lord will do the rest. So let's pray. Lord God, you are my Savior. I need you every hour. I am a sinner, Lord, and I cannot save myself. You died on the cross for me, and I give you my heart today. Please set up residency inside me that I may be filled with your Holy Spirit. I surrender it all to you. Forgive me, Lord, for the things that I may have said, the things that I may have done that I cannot even remember, and the ways that I may have acted. Please forgive me. Lord, I need you. I love you, and I receive you right now as my salvation. You are my Lord, and I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I pray this in Jesus' holy name, because you first loved me. Amen.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. For those of you who have prayed with us, thank you. And thank you for lifting up that individual that the Holy Spirit brought to your mind as you may have been going through the days trying to witness to someone in your circle and telling them about the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And for the one who may have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior on this day, be in rejoicing with us as the angels rejoice. And we just encourage you to get into a Bible teaching church and then be baptized by submersion of water. And when you get up, I tell you, it is a hallelujah, joyful time that you would run and tell somebody that you are now a Christ follower. And then seek out a Sunday school or a small group Bible study that will disciple you in Christ Jesus, that you would grow in grace and go, that you would be an instrument to God, that you would continue to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So praise the Lord and hallelujah. So, Kendra, we are going to continue to pick up where you left off.
Yes, I would like to make comparisons on the temptation that he gave to Eve compared to what he spoke to Jesus in the wilderness. And the comparisons will be taken from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. I'm just going to be reading back and forth concerning how the enemy doesn't change, and he attacks each and every one of us in the same exact way. Same exact way. He never changes. When he came to Eve, he wants her to question what God has said. And he asked if God truly said. And she began to doubt if what she has quoted to him, was it really what God said? So he caught her interest by planting doubts in her head of what God said. The difference between her and Jesus being a God in the flesh, being a man, because the Bible tells us that he laid aside his holiness, his glory, to become like us. So it's not like, oh, he is God, so therefore he knows. No, Jesus was was in the flesh, man, and in the spirit. He embodied God in the spirit, but he also likened himself to man. He came as an example for us on this earth, how to walk in harmony, how to walk in a constant relationship with the Father. For if you study the life of Christ, he always says, I do nothing unless the Father tells me to. So all the miracles he has done, everything that he has done, he was in communion with God in doing so. So he walked in communion with God. So he knew his Father. And this is how Satan came to Jesus in the wilderness. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and I'm reading Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, you see how Satan comes in? When he perceives us to be weak, that's when he makes his entrance, and he's very subtle. He doesn't come in with a blowhorn. He comes in using logic. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. He came the same way at Eve. Did God really say? But Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written. Amen? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Eve should have knocked down the devil with the fact that, yes, God truly said, and shut him up. Conversation would have been ended. Well, maybe not, because he would have persisted, because he's a persistent cuss. But she had to know who God was and what he represented and what he said and follow his word to be in obedience to him and not break that to cause a rift between the relationship with God. The Bible tells us that when we come to God, we must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. So by seeking him is to spend time in his word. By seeking him is to spend quiet time with him, develop that relationship that he wants from us through his son Jesus Christ. He wants that same relationship back that he had with Adam in the garden. Now, I'm jumping ahead to the next lesson a little bit, but it's like laying the foundation right here in some of the words that I'm using and some of the examples that I'm giving. But I'm going on now to the second temptation, the second words that he used to Eve, comparison to what he used to Jesus, which is the same terminology. And I'm reading from verse 5 in chapter 4 of Matthew. Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, again trying to put doubt, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Which he quoted the Bible in out of context. And Jesus, again, knowing the word of God, says to him, "It is written, it is written again," which in some versions says, "It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Jesus knew who he was in God, that he had the boldness to speak to the devil to let him know who he is in God. Eve did not know who she was in God. She knew she was under, or she was next to Adam. Adam was given the commandment while Eve was still in him. When God told him not, he told them, because she was in the man, not to eat and of the tree of good and evil in the garden. They can eat of every other tree, but not that. It was his responsibility to enhance and nurture and cultivate the word of God in his wife, to stay in that communion, that fellowship with God, and in obedience to him. And I believe, that's just me speaking, it's not written in the Bible, it's me speaking, that if he had done that, it would have been a different conversation. Because the Bible says that she gave the man that was with her to eat. So he was with her while the enemy, the devil, the serpent, in the form of the Satan, in the form of the serpent, was speaking to her. Tempting her to eat of the fruit. He was with her. And he did eat from her hand. He should have told her no. And we wouldn't be in such a mess. But Jesus said the words to him, "Do not tempt the Lord thy God." And then Satan went on again, a third time. He is persistent. In verse 8, in chapter 4 of Matthew, he says, "Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdom of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.' The Bible tells us that the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. Now, the word of God tells us with Eve that she looked at the tree, and she saw that the fruit was good. The fruit was pretty and acceptable, and she did eat. So, and then the enemy says to her that God did not want her to eat because it's a tree that would give them, make them to be like God. I'm paraphrasing, Ginger's paraphrasing. Make them to be like God, and their eyes would be open, and, you know, and they'll be like God. So the contrast between her having a vision to be like God is the same thing as Satan enticing Jesus and saying, "All of this I would give you if you bow down to me." And Jesus resisted, and his enemy leaves, because every attack that he does is the same he does in all of us. He comes to entice us. He entices the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the three things he comes every single time. He does not change. We are the one that is responsible for filling ourselves with the word of God, for feeding on the milk and the meat of the word, and getting to be intimate with God, to know his voice above the enemy, and to walk in the knowledge and the strength that he gives us to walk in through him, having relationship with him. So I'm just saying this to say that the conversation with the enemy at the tree with the man, Adam, and the woman, Eve, should not have gone the direction it went in had they been rooted and grounded in obedience to what God has said. But again, we have a gracious God. We have a forgiving God. We have a God who knows the thoughts of all of us and the actions that we would take before we even take them. So because of that, God had a plan, and the plan was redemption. The plan was his son, Jesus Christ. The plan was forgiveness. The plan was to redeem us to himself by faith and love in him. And because he gave that we might come back in that fellowship with him. I'm handing over to Tonita to make any add or take away or any comments to what I have just said.
Well, amen. I mean, the as we continue to search the scriptures to see and what the Holy Spirit reveals to us and how he connects the dots in our minds and in our hearts to know that we don't have to fall prey, and that's not P-R-A-Y, but P-R-E-Y, fall prey to the foolishness of Satan. And, of course, we saw how Jesus exemplified that when he was in the wilderness. Now, you made a very good point concerning Satan comes to attack those who are weak.
Yeah.
And when you are weak in the Lord, and when I say weak in the Lord, meaning you are not reading the Word of God on a daily basis so that you can be strong in the Lord concerning the tactics and the subtleties and the cunningness of the deceiver, the adversary, Satan, our enemy. And the same schemes and skill sets that he had in the garden or prior to the garden, because he was in heaven. And so although his game is still the same then as it is today, Jesus exemplified what we are to do as believers in Christ Jesus on a daily basis. And that is to stay strong in the Lord, staying strong in the Word of God, staying strong in the seeking of the Scriptures, staying strong in prayer and communication to God, going to the Father, making your petitions known unto him in every circumstance of our lives, regardless of you being in a valley or being on the mountain top of your life, of your journey as you're walking today. We are to remain in fellowship with God. And as we looked at the scriptures to show how the garden was perfect fellowship, and now as we look at the scriptures to see broken fellowship between Adam and Eve and God because of disobedience. And how does that relate to us today? And I just thank God for our sister Ginger to show some correlations and some parallels on how what Satan did then with Adam and Eve, he has done that through Scripture and even tried to do it with Jesus himself. But even though he does that still today, as brothers and sisters in Christ, believers in Christ Jesus, followers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are overcomers. And we can overcome the tricks of his trade by staying saturated in the Word of God, believing by faith that Jesus' word is true, God said it, and we stand firm, sure-footed, and we believe it. And we don't compromise on the Word of God by living a lifestyle that is contrary to what the Word of God teaches us. And when you saturate yourself with God's Word and you stay in His Word by reading and prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of God's Word, then Satan, as Jesus said in the scripture, in Matthew, and he said it, and he was, and it was just so beautiful, in Matthew chapter 4, he told Satan in verse 10. Let's back up to verse 9, and I want to reread that. He said in verse 9 in the New King James Translation, and he said to him, All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Now, bow down and worship him, lowercase H-I-M. Satan wants us to bow down to him and call him God. He wanted that when he was in heaven. That is the reason why he was kicked out, booted out, cast down out of heaven, because he wanted God's position. And so when he asked the Son of God, Jesus, to fall down and worship me, in verse 10, then Jesus said to him, away with you. Now, he just flat out told Satan, be gone, away with you, get away from me, leave me alone. You have no power over me, is what Jesus said, away with you. Satan called his name. He wasn't afraid of him. He wasn't timid. He wasn't in fear. Jesus, the Son of Man, God himself, fashioned in flesh and bone. And here he's having conversation with Satan. Not for the first time, but he's having conversation with Satan. And he says, away with you, Satan. And then it gets even better in this one particular verse. For it is written, Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now, who was Jesus talking to? Jesus was talking to Satan, and he said, away with you, Satan. And then he says, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. Wow. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Now that packs up in my heart, in my mind, in my complete soul, because to know that we can dismiss Satan from our life, we don't have to fall prey to his shenanigans. We don't have to fall prey to his deceptions in our lives. Yes, he comes to seek us out. He comes to try to kill us. But Scripture also tells us that nothing and no one can pluck us out of the hand of God. We have a permanent position or place in God's hands. As a believer in Christ Jesus, as a child of God, we do not have to live in fear of what we see, of what we hear, and of what's going on in today's world. We do not have to live in fear of what might happen that we don't have any knowledge of. But what we do need to do as believers in Christ Jesus, because, again, Jesus told Satan, away with you. And that's what we are to do when we can clearly see that Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy us. Now, when you're strong in the Word of God, and when I say strong, daily nourishment for the soul, daily nourishment for the soul, continual prayer, daily prayer with the Lord God, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Daily prayer and daily fellowship in the Word of God. Jesus is the tree of life. Jesus is the bread of life. And Jesus is the living water. We are to eat and drink more of Jesus. So when we can get that understood, not only in our mind, but in our heart, that our lives will be a witness, a light to somebody in a dark place. And there's a whole lot of darkness in this world today. And today we are to see the light, we are to live the light, and we are to be a light, like a city sitting on the hill, to where somebody will come and ask you, why do you shine so brightly? And so that somebody can say, I want what you have. Can you talk to me about that? That somebody would see you as that beautiful light that will lead them to the ark of salvation, and that is Jesus Christ himself. But the weaker one, you need to be stronger in the Lord, pursuing the Lord God and pursuing the Word of God, because if you don't, then you could be like Eve, falling to every temptation, being used in ways that you never thought you would be used, thinking in ways and going in directions that lead to the left when you should be on the right. Scripture tells us that the wide road leads to destruction, but the narrow road is the straight way. And that is the road that we should be on that leads to the straight way. And that is Jesus Christ himself. So I encourage you to be a child that stays in fellowship with God. Because we know broken fellowship, as Adam and Eve demonstrated to us, is very easy to do when you're weak. So I tell you, Ginger, this particular point is so meaty, broken fellowship, that we could spend days on end just picking away the scriptures and pulling the grass back of the scriptures and looking at all of that beautiful life underneath that grass that just broadens our understanding and deepens our relationship with Jesus Christ. I tell you, it is super, super rich. And I would love to continue to stay on this particular point, because so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ miss the mark. And we let go of God's big hand. We just let it go. And that demonstrates or illustrates broken fellowship when we let go of his hand. And then, of course, we fall prey to Satan's shenanigans. And he uses us for his glory instead of us being allowing God to use us for capital H-I-S, his glory. So amen to that. But this was very spot on and very rich to where we could spend more time in this particular point. But it really did delight me and delight I pray and hope that it delighted you also. But this is just a little taste of who God is. He's a big God. He says, oh, taste and see that I am good. Just another scripture that tells us we are to eat of the bread of life and drink of the living water. So he is our delight. He is our nourishment. And he is all sufficient for the body of Christ. So, amen. So if you have any closing points on this particular point, we will pick up this point two in conclusion on next broadcast, because we do want to look at the covering of our fellowship and the redeeming fellowship in this particular teaching series. And it just gets better and better as we move through the scriptures. So I encourage you to continue to stay in listening mode to this broadcast as we continue to work through the Bible on this particular teaching series, How Did I Become a Sinner? So, Ginger, if you have any last notes or points or a verse that you wanted to continue in this particular point, broken fellowship.
No, I'm good. I just want to thank God for allowing us the opportunity to speak into people's lives.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, the word, it's living and it's breathing, and it does saturate your heart that you would want to know him better, deeper, and that you would come into intimacy with God. And this is his desire for us, that we love on him, that we carry him and walk with him, that the Holy Spirit would lead us and groom us and shape us and mold us to just be so in love with him that we would love others as we love ourselves. So praise the Lord. This brings us to the close of the broadcast, and it went so fast. I did not want it to end, but I know we have to. And just remember, as we move through this lesson, I encourage you and I implore you to meet with us again on next broadcast for the continuance of this teaching series, How Did I Become a Sinner? And we will look at point three, redeeming fellowship. So praise the Lord. So always remember that the grass withers. Always remember that the flowers, they fade away daily. And the grass withers daily, but the richness of the word of God remains forever and ever. God bless you, and thank you for being so faithful to Mission from the Heart Radio. And thank you most of all for being faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.